Welcome to the Masterlink podcast with James and Stefan. Getting to know creatives in the music industry. Available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone and welcome to the Masterlink podcast. It's James here.
Hi, it's Stefan here, and today we're talking to Laura Evans.
Hello.
Hey Laura, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, we're always good.
Laura, whereabouts are you in the world right now? Are you at home in Wales, or are you in London, or whereabouts are you?
I'm actually at home in Wales, at my mum and dad's house in a very small village in South Wales called Llwycoed in Aberdare.
Sounds lovely. What's the nice. What's the weather like?
You know what? The sun is shining in today.
Oh, nice.
And it is just a beautiful day. It's making me feel happy.
Wales is a stunning place when the sun is out.
Yeah, definitely. It yeah, really I tend to come here to escape a bit. I live in London, but I often just come home to escape and, I don't know, reset and everything.
Okay, we can come back to that later. that's interesting. Laura, you have an established acting career, but at the same time, you're also a musical artist. You know, we've been lucky enough to have you in the Masterlink studio, and you came to record your single.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested because that's quite a hard sort of line to walk, isn't it? You've got acting, and you've got the music, and you've got, I'm sure, there's other stuff going on as well.
Yeah.
How are you? What was the drive to pull you towards being a musician over acting?
I always aspired to be a musician ever since I was tiny. So the dream was always to be an artist. I wrote songs as a young kid. I always sung. But when I had a little bit, I kind of signed a record really young when I was like 17. And the music industry kind of ate me up and spat me out, really. And by the time I was 19, 20, everything had gone away with the music, it seemed at that time.
Do you mean, do you mean personally?
No, just, well, yeah, I guess I got a little disheartened. I'd made so much music, had so much hype, been in the studio so much, you know, done loads of kind of cool things, and then nothing happened. So I guess I was disheartened and I had had no success in that field, even though I'd made a lot of music. Yeah. Okay. So then it was weird. It's almost like I knew I could always act because I'd studied acting, but that was secondary to my music always.
I see. Oh, okay. I got it. So you'd had a hard time when, you know, and you're so young as well. It's really tough. So I got it. So then you did some acting. And so actually it's almost like you're sort of, going back to your roots.
Yeah, I fell into acting. It was like serendipity. I had an audition and then I booked a job. You know when you try so hard for something, it doesn't work, and then you don't try for things and they happen. What is that? I'm sure there's a law there or something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened with my acting, and it took me off course a little. I always think of it like a road. It's like I went down this road for a little while and it was lovely, and I had a lovely time and it was quite fulfilling, and I made some money and it was, you know, it was on the telly, but I wasn't really following my true path, which was always the music.
Was there a certain point where you were you like on stage or in the TV studio and you were just like, nah, this isn't for me anymore? Was there like a sort of penny drop moment, or was it over a longer period of time?
Yeah, it was over a long period of time. I was so grateful for the job, but I did think, well, there's a whole side of me that no one knows about. There's this whole talent, which I think was better than acting, that people don't know. So it was that drive to share that side of me, which I wasn't sharing. So I felt a little bit stifled.
Got it.
So I just want to come back to your studies. This sounds all super interesting. So you said you studied acting, right?
Mm-hmm,
and you said that very early on you always loved music. How come you didn't study music and you got into studying acting instead?
Well, I went to drama school at 14, like a music theatre school, and I got in. I won a scholarship on because of my singing voice. But then once we got there, it was half, you know, it was dancing, acting, and singing. So I learned all three. And it was quite apparent that I was definitely better at singing than anything else. But along with all those classes, I did acting as well. So yeah, that's what happened there.
Oh, wow. This, okay. Well, it's super interesting. And we asked, we talked to Tony Remy, the guitarist, early on, and we talked to him about his mother and mm-hmm. how his mother viewed his career choices. So how was that in your house? Were your parents, were they very happy for you to take the path down the arts, like acting, dancing, singing, or were they like, oh, we'd rather like you to do something maybe more solid? What was that relation like?
Well, my mum and dad are amazing, and they obviously let me follow my dreams because I begged them.
Well, you must have begged good.
And I remember getting this scholarship for drama school, and they didn't want me to go because I was only 14, you know, leaving my hometown of Wales and going to live in London with a fat, you know, boarding was just not, they didn't think that was a good idea. Yeah, I begged them to go, and they let me go, and it was hard. There was a lot of tears. And I don't know, we look back at it and we think, how did they let me do that? We still say it now. We still have like emotional moments. And I say, oh, that was years ago. You know, it was a great experience. But so to say it was easy, that would be a lie. It was hard. But they were very generous and they knew I had a talent and they wanted me to be happy.
That's amazing. What a convincing argument, you know, when you're 14 as well. You know, we always, you know, when we're growing up, well, especially for me, you know, you always think you know best, don't you? Especially when you're 14, 15, 16. But to be that, to have that much conviction mm-hmm. at such a young age to then go to London, that must have been pretty scary.
Yeah, it was scary. But my auntie and uncle sung a lot. And when I was little, I sang a lot in Wales. And I did all these charity shows on the weekends, and it's strange, but I knew from that young age that there was more than these little clubs and small towns. And I had an urge to like leave the valleys. I felt a bit trapped here, even at that age. I wonder if other people feel like that. Maybe it's different now because you have the internet and you can make videos and become famous from your bedroom. But, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't like that.
Sure. And then interestingly, on the other side of that, you know, now you've been through it and you've spent a few years doing it. And now going back to what you said earlier, you know, about escaping back to Wales. So do you still feel like Wales is your complete home? That's where your heart is? Or do you feel like, no, actually, if I could, I could stay away, or I could move to a different country? Or how's your relationship now with your hometown now you've been away from it?
Well, because it was so precious, and my weekends and my time here has always been so precious, because I don't live here, it still feels like that now. I don't think I could ever live in this town permanently, but I love coming back and spending time here. I think I'll always be a Rolling Stone, really. Like, I know we can't tour at the moment, but like I'd love to just travel and be a Rolling Stone and tour and do all that stuff and just know I can come back here for a short time.
Nice. And Laura, we'll talk about what you're doing musically in a minute. I mm-hmm. just want to come back one more time to the acting, because I find it such an intriguing story. So what should we envision right now? Is it that in terms of your where you headed, that acting is behind you, or is acting something that you actually want to or are running alongside you? Current artistic career as a singer and as a songwriter?
Well, I made a choice a couple of years ago that one, when you put your most attention into one thing, it works. And I had to make the choice to just choose music. So that my acting career is just, I mean, if something amazing came up and I happened to have an audition and get the part, great. But I'm not actively, you know, seeking out work and carving out an acting career like I am carving out my music career.
Okay, wow. That's That's beautiful. I hope our listeners can really take from this, and what I mean is to the sort of the strength of vision. It sounds very clear, which is mm-hmm. beautiful. I think that's kind of probably more than half of the battle to know where you're heading and where you're not heading.
Yeah.
And are you, when people like James and I, we're obviously intrigued about your acting past. Are you actually, is this sort of like an annoyance to you that people want to talk about that bit? Or is it like, okay, that's part of what I've done, but I've moved on?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm really proud of that, because if, like the story I said, it wasn't something that I really tried hard at. You know, I was working really hard to get a record deal and become a successful artist. So then to have this kind of crazy lucky 5 years of acting. I actually moved to LA as well and did some acting there, and it was all part of my path, and I'm proud of it. But I, you know, there's still this whole side of me, I'm like, but really, I want to sing, so make sure you check out my music.
makes a lot of sense. So actually talking about music.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about music. So let's start maybe with a broad question, which is, what are you working on right now?
Well, I released an EP last year, and it saw a little, I kind of moved away from my country genre and tried to push some boundaries with blues and soul and rock music. So I've just been writing a ton of music. So I have at least three more singles that I'm putting out this year in the hope to release a full album by the end of the year.
Wow. Okay. Brilliant. And you also touched upon something I wanted to ask you as well. You said as I understand, so you were like operating more in the sort of country genre, and now you're moving towards maybe towards a more harder edge type music, more blues, rock. And I was intrigued. What prompted that?
Well, I made a decision in like 2019, I was going to write better songs. And I don't know why. I think I felt a bit trapped with some boundaries as an artist. I have to write these pretty sounding poppy country songs because I fall into that genre. And then I was getting into these writing rooms and kind of singing melodies and kind of doing riffs. And I was like, I listened to like everything as a kid. You know, I listened to Mariah Carey, Stevie Wonder, and Dolly Parton and the Eagles. And I felt a little bit stifled with the choices I was making. So I just freed myself of those boundaries and was like, right, I'm just going to write whatever comes out. And
I love that.
That's what happened.
You say that you wanted to write great songs. What's a great song to you? Are you able to define in your mind what you think a great song is?
I think music is so subjective, but for me, a great song is lyrically an amazing story and an amazing melody, with a vibe that matches. I think it's easy to write songs, but it's not easy to write good songs.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of production can dress up a bad song. And I think if you strip down a song to its bare bones and it sounds amazing, you know, just acoustic guitar or just piano, you have a good song.
Is that how you start your writing process? Just with, here are some lyrics, here's some chords, I'm going to play a little bit, I'm going to maybe, do you bounce ideas off other people?
Yeah, I do. It always starts either on an acoustic guitar or on the piano. I'm a terrible musician. I can play about four chords, but
but the good ones, the four good ones,
the good ones,
the ones that count.
Yeah, but my voice has always been my instrument. I sing melodies all day long, so I can come up with a whole melody, you know, in my head, and then figure out the chords. So once I get into a room with someone who's amazing, you know, that's how we start, just melody and chords, and it's real simple.
And as far as the lyrics are concerned, so what kind of universe are you trying to paint? Well, what's the sort of narrative of your stories? What are the sort of messages you're trying to get across? Do you have a guideline for that, or you generally react to what you're feeling at the moment, or how do you go about what you're actually singing about?
I always draw on personal experience, I think. And I tend to write the mood I'm in that day. And over the last record, some kind of female empowerment came out, which I've never written about before, which maybe is a reaction to, you know, the style I decided, you know, to bring in those blues influences. So, yeah, I feel like it's definitely from personal experience and what I listen to. Sometimes I listen, if I listen to something great, I think, oh, I want to write a song like that. And that will inspire me to go in that direction.
Makes sense. And this is a possibly hard question. I ask myself that probably every day. So if you're thinking about your music and who you'd actually ideally want to listen to your music, the unknown public out there, who do you think like your listeners are or maybe ought to be?
You know, most of my listeners, I think, fall into the older bracket between 30 and maybe 50. But I kind of feel like I wish younger people would listen to me because I write quite empowering songs, especially for young girls and young guys. I don't know. I feel like they could relate if it could get to them. So maybe that's a goal to aspire to.
How do you think you could get to that audience? Is there a do you think there's a sort of certain style of music or a certain production style that's required? I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but you know, it's sort of interesting to see how you could start to reach those people because that, you know, that's important.
Yeah, I wouldn't really want to change or compromise my production style because it's all quite organic and authentic. But I think it's about getting through the right channels. And I think the more successful you get, the more airplay you get, the more people you reach. You know, touring with someone and catching on to their audience, and maybe that way would be a way to reach more people.
Mm. So you just said something very interesting. You said airplay, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that. So how do you view our current state of being indie artists and exposure pieces like airplay, radio, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, all those behemoths of the music industry? What's your relationship with it all?
I've really enjoyed Spotify over the last 12 months because I've been lucky enough to be added to some editorial playlists. So for me, that's been a tool to reach more people in a way that I never had before. So as much as radio play, I think, is important, and I've had some success with that, I don't think it compares to streaming services like Apple Music and Spotify. So I think if you can hit those markets and nail them, I think that's the way to reach your fans.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's also super interesting to hear you talking this positively about Spotify, because Spotify is obviously a very much a villainized symbol for a lot of musicians of everything that is wrong with the current music industry. But you probably were one of the first people talking very positively about it, which is great to hear, because such a big thing is Spotify, there can't be only like good and there can only be bad. But at the same time, how do you think Spotify could improve to serve artists, independent artists like yourselves and us?
Well, obviously the whole payment system is totally messed up. So I feel like we're all just sucking it up at the moment and, you know, going with it. But it's not fair. And I know bigger artists are trying to make a change and make a stand, because we should be getting paid more. Songwriters should be getting paid more. But see, on the flip side, for someone that isn't signed to a huge record label, we get to reach our fans. Maybe we don't get paid as much money, but we get to create our fan base, I think, easier than if we didn't have that avenue or that platform.
Sure.
So I think there needs to be a change, and there needs to be a fairer split when it comes to getting paid. But I think in terms of putting your music out there and getting it to people, I don't see another platform that's doing any better, or I don't see a solution in the near future that will be as easy to use and as instrumental for independent artists.
Well, I totally agree, and probably going to get hate mail now after what I'm saying in this podcast, based on what you just said.
I never hate you.
Based on what you just said, I think the thing with Spotify is there is, as you said, yeah, there's things wrong with it, but I have to say that what I or possibly we like all about the Spotify is that Spotify is the only company that is in the market for music. And if I want to be critical, I could say that Apple Music is not so much in the market for music because they have a different motive, and their motive is to for people probably to buy hardware. And the music thing is just like an upsell to that. And that's why I'm kind of rooting for Spotify, because it was built to distribute music. That's their core mission. That they have the finance wrong is blatantly clear. I think also, and this is maybe a question for you, how we can, because we all feel the same about it, how we can sort of re-educate sort of the unknown public to be more aware of the business model and that we're not making enough money from it. Because you can't say Spotify is sort of the weapon that destroys everything, because it's also public awareness, because people will always go the path of least resistance in terms of consuming music. And at the moment, the monies are not there because people are not willing to spend it. So what do you think we can do to help that public awareness?
Well, it's hard, isn't it? Because everybody in the industry is using Spotify, you know, and these big artists that have millions and millions of plays. No artists are saying, I'm not putting my music on Spotify and making a stand to make a change because they can't. So I don't know. I guess awareness, maybe explaining how much it takes to make a song, produce a song, and then showing people the real hard truth of how much we get paid. You know, do these stats need to be out in the world for the general public to see? Maybe that's an answer. Or maybe they need a huge, huge artist to put it on paper to show the, you know, the extreme cost of, or the deficit that we're making when it comes to our, you know, our payment from Spotify.
There was Taylor Swift, didn't she? She made a stand against Apple Music, didn't she? When was that? A couple of years ago?
Yeah, she did.
Well, isn't Taylor Swift, hasn't she re-recorded her old catalogue? So she's the owner now of the sound recordings and has put them back up on Spotify.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, I think she finally won a court battle to get all her masters back from someone like, I don't know, one of the big companies, Big Machine,
three.
I think. Yeah someone of the big people that run this whole world. And yeah, she's re-recorded them all now. So I guess she was one of the artists that made a stand. And I know Nile Rodgers made a comment the other day, and I know that some bigger artists have been speaking to, you know, the powers that be to try and make a change. But I think unless they do, how can us little indie artists even stand up and say anything? If, you know, we're led by our leaders in the industry, so if they don't say anything, it's hard, I think, for us to make a change.
Yeah, I mean, a super small point, but I remember when we were still gigging with the band, that every time we played a gig, I actually told people what we're making via Spotify, and the consequence was always that they were like, whoa. And when it was time to sell some CDs, we always sold more CDs because people started to feel bad. So I think simply telling the story and telling the truth as it is probably good, because of course us in the industry, all of us, we know it's flawed. It's a flawed system. It's a mud bath, and we are bathing in it. However, it's still astonishing how many people, if I go to my local post office and the guy happens to be a jazz fan, has no idea about the business model and sees the views on Spotify and go, well, Steph, you're doing well. And I'm like, actually, no, not based on that.
No. Yeah, it's funny, you know. I almost think about it like another account on social media. I feel like I have my Facebook, I have my Instagram, I have my, you know, my Twitter, and I have my Spotify. And I look at it like that now, which actually probably isn't the best way to look at it. But I do so much other work to make money from my music. Mm. And Spotify is just another little avenue that is like social media.
That is, I think that's beautiful what you're saying. I think because I totally see it the same way. I think for me, Spotify is not a marketplace to sell music. Spotify is a pure exposure piece, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And in yours, clearly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to change tack here, I think.
Go crazy, James.
I want to know, because we're almost at the end of the show anyway.
What? No, come on.
We are. I know it's crazy. What do you do, Laura? How do you relax? How do you get away from music? Because you know we're all in it every day, all day, making it and creating it and recording it. And do you have downtime? And does that downtime then fuel your creativity? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I have to really make myself have downtime, and I've discovered the only way I can do that is by running or doing exercise, or I'm quite into TED Talks and things, or something to switch my brain off in a different way so I'm concentrating on something else. I struggle. I mean, I'm looking at my phone more and more every day. I'm trying to fix my relationship with my phone. So I don't look at it so much and I don't become consumed. So exercise, and I do a bit of meditation, and yeah, podcasts and things.
Great. And do you think that is then enabling you to create in a way that you haven't been able to before?
Yeah, definitely. After I exercise or do a run, I'm so much more focused and I have such a more productive, creative day.
Wicked.
That's great. And on that note, Laura, in terms of downtime and watching TED Talks, etc., would you mind sharing one interesting or inspiring piece of art? Could be anything, film, graphic arts, books, that you found really inspiring in the last week or so?
Let me think. I'm a big fan of Deepak Chopra, who is kind of a meditator and like a forward thinker. He's kind of like a spiritual guru. So I follow him. I do all his meditations. I read his books. It's kind of like a constant thing that I listen to and read about.
Brilliant. You should check it out. My wife probably will love that. Sounds good.
Laura, thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's been really interesting talking to you. Thank you for being so honest and frank about your views and your thoughts. It's been super cool. We will hopefully see you again soon. And the single, the single that we recorded with you, Drag Me Back In, how's that going?
Yeah, that's going amazing. Yeah, it's going amazing. I think I feel like I opened a new door of fans, especially on Spotify, like we talked about, and different avenues, social media and things. So yeah, it came out great. It was awesome. I love it. I feel like I'm not over it. I feel like I still want to share it with the world.
Great.
10 times over.
and we shall make new creations to share. I mean, we hope to see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come down to us again and we'll do something. We'll talked about this already. But as James said, Laura, thanks for your time. You're a star. Thanks for being so candid. And we'll speak soon.
Oh, you guys rock too. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Laura.
All the
Thank
best.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.